I was going to see if she's going to do another one or not. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with us this morning into the book of Luke, chapter number 8. Luke, chapter number 8. A very familiar story to each and every one of us, I'm sure. And if you're not familiar with it, I hope it touches your heart this morning and helps you realize what we have in Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 8, we'll begin reading in verse number 22. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. Then he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee." Let's pray. Father, this morning we ask your blessing upon the reading of your word. And as we look into it for just a few moments, Father, we pray, God, and ask you to help us, Lord, just to see something that might help us and strengthen us and encourage us, Lord, as we face the days in which we live and the trials that we face in life. Lord, help us, God, just to find in you that we need this morning in everything. We praise you, Lord, for what we know that you're going to do this morning, and we ask your blessing upon all that's done here. Help us, Father, to humble our hearts and minds unto you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, and we say amen and amen. Now, you all are familiar with the story of Jesus and the disciples on the lake, I'm sure, as they set out, they ran into a storm, and the disciples were afraid. The Bible says that the ship that they were in was filled. I believe it was to the brim. I believe it was all the way. I believe they were just about to go under, so they thought. But they failed to remember that the one that traveled with them had the power over all things. But I want you to see how quickly things can transpire, how quickly things can happen sometimes. They've been walking with Jesus, and they've been traveling with him, and they've been seeing Jesus do many of the things that he does, the miracles that he did. To be in the presence of Jesus like the disciples were when he healed broken bodies, when he raised dead bodies and brought them back to life, when he fed the thousands upon the seashores with just a few morsels of bread and a few little fish, and how he done great and wondrous things, and just to walk with him and see that he does all these things, but then to find out that in just a moment of time we're transported into a situation to where the one who's been doing all these things seems to be uncaring and seems to be unmovable and seems to be unwilling to do anything. He's asleep in the back of the ship. As a matter of fact, in Mark's gospel, the disciples come to him and said, "Master, carest not that we perish?" And he arose. Yes, he cares. Just because you don't think he's there, just because you think he's unaware, just because you think the situation warrants more attention, trust Jesus. His question was the same every time. Where's your faith? Why have you lost your faith? Why aren't you trusting like he used to do? Look in verse number 22. It says, "Now it came to pass on a certain day." You know, that could be any day. That could be today that you face trouble, that you face trial. There's uncertainty in this life. We are promised nothing in this life that We have to lean on, that we can cling to, that we can hold to, but that we have the moment in which we live. We have this time and this purpose and this place that we're at right now. We can't change what God has in plan and what God has in store for the day, but we can trust Him through it and we can trust Him for it. And that's what Jesus wanted the disciples to see. That's what He wanted them to understand, is that they can trust Him. We can look in our own lives and we can see that how a day started out so good. And, you know, I had great hopes for today. The weatherman said yesterday by 9 o'clock they thought most of the rain would be over and it would be out of here and it would be starting to clear up. And I was hoping it would. I got up this morning and went out to the barn to look for some tools for Brother Charles. I was having a problem and they called and asked that I have a tool and went to see if I had it. It wasn't raining, and it wasn't misting, and it was pretty nice, and I was getting all pumped up and built up, and I was looking forward to what was going to happen, but look at what it is right now. Amen. All misty and rainy, but yet we're still here, and yet God is still the same. Amen. There was a day I recall that I went to work, and I worked through the day. I was working overtime in the evening, and just an instant of time on a certain day. It wasn't a particular day. I didn't know what was going to happen. My whole life changed forever because I was injured in a really bad work accident. I was driving to work one day, somebody hit me. They broadsided me, and I had no clue that it was going to happen. You see, life is filled with uncertainties, and any day a life can change. Any day things can happen. It was on a certain day in the Garden of Eden that man fell from grace when he sinned before God. It was on a certain day after Noah had preached 120 years that God shut the door, and there was no more hope. There was no more remedy. There was no more security for mankind. That was just a day like any other day. A day that everybody thought was going to be the same. They'd never seen it rain. They'd never heard of such a thing. And the water began to fall from the heavens. And the water began to come up from the grounds. And it was just like any other day when it started out. But on this day, everything changed. It was just on a certain day that David went down to the armies of Israel to take supplies to the army and to visit with his brother. And in just a few short hours and just a little bit of time, he was standing in a valley looking at a giant. I want you to know something. Your life can change in a heartbeat. Coronavirus isn't something to be feared. Amen. It's something to be respected. It's something to be put in the right place and in the right perspective. We're getting all wrapped up over things. Things come in our lives, and we get all been out of shape. It was certain day that three Hebrew children failed and refused to bow down to the graven image of Nebuchadnezzar and were thrown in a fiery furnace. And on that certain day, praise God, they got to have communion. They got to have fellowship. They got to have a visitation with Jesus himself right in the midst of a fire. On that day, it was a day like any other day. Oh, but praise God, it turned out like a day they never had could have dreamed of and have hoped of. It was on a certain day that a virgin gave birth to a baby in Bethlehem. Yes, I said a virgin. He was born of a virgin. He was born sinless because his daddy wasn't Joseph. His daddy wasn't an earthly daddy. She was conceived of that baby by the Holy Spirit, and she bore that baby as a virgin. Praise God. That was just any other day. Nobody ever thought anything about it except for those who would heed and believe the prophecies of the Word of God. Those who would believe the angel as he came and as he ministered unto them. It was on a certain day that the perfect Lamb of God was nailed on an old rugged cross. You know what happened on that day, that particular day, that particular Passover? Hope for all mankind had been poured out. Hope for all mankind had been meted out for with every drop of blood that was shed on that old rugged cross. It was just a day like any other day to most people. But praise God, it was on a certain day. It was on a certain day that that Savior rose from a grave. A certain day ascended back into heaven, and he said on a certain day he's coming back again. I praise God, he's coming back again. It's uncertain. We might not finish the sermon this morning. He might sky and call his church. The trumpet might sound. The shout might go forth. My children, come up hither. I want to know something. Is there a certain day, a certain time, and a certain place that you can go back to in your heart and mind and know that beyond a shadow of a doubt that you had asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, that you had asked Jesus Christ to save you, your old wretched soul? I remember the day. I remember the hour. I don't remember the date, but I remember when it happened. I knew when it happened because I was there. Hey, amen. It started out just like any other day. But that day Jesus got a hold of my heart. That day Jesus changed my plans. And that day Jesus saved my old wretched soul. We make plans and we think that we got everything under control, and things are going to happen this way and that way, and it's going to go down like this. But we don't have that authority. We don't have that certainty. James says over in James 4, 13 to 17, he says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Friends, I want you to know something. Their day started out just like any other day. It was on a certain day. We don't have no guarantees of anything in life. We don't have no certainties of anything in life. But we can be sure of one thing, that Jesus is in control of every day. Jesus is in the midst of every moment that we live. And we just need to trust him for whatever his will might bestow upon us. But because we have so many uncertainties, we have so many who are unsettled in heart. Look in verse number 23. The Bible says, "But as they sailed, he fell asleep." He knew what was coming, but yet he could sleep. Amen. He knew what was about to happen, but yet he could go to sleep. Why? Because he was still in control. Why? Because he was still the Lord. He was still God. He was still omnipotent. There was nothing that was a surprise, nothing that just occurred unto him. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And then look in verse number 24 for just one moment. "And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish." Amen. You know, when we don't understand everything and we're not in control of everything, as we think we are sometimes, we get very unsettled, do we not? I know when I've got to preach and sometimes I'm just unsettled. And I don't like being unsettled. I don't like that nervousness. But I like it when God's in control. Amen. I like it when God has his way. I like it when God does what only God can do. Man, they were with Jesus. He said, "Let's go to the other side." Now, he's never promised us that in this journey here below we weren't going to face problems. We, you know, people have went through worse plagues than what this coronavirus is. People have faced worse problems than this coronavirus is. People have dealt with things far more horrific and far more tremendous than what this coronavirus is. And we're all upset and bent out of shape and everything else. I laugh. I've seen more funny things posted since this happened, and I've seen in a long time. It's really given us a chance to laugh at ourselves and to think of, do you realize that last week a roll of toilet paper was worth more than a barrel of crude oil? Do you realize that? Crude oil went into the negative. Amen. I think it was negative $35 at one time. A roll of toilet paper was worth more than a barrel of crude oil. A year ago, if you'd have told somebody that was going to happen, they'd have laughed you out of town. Amen. I seen a car dealer in Baltimore yesterday. You know, car dealers and businesses, sometimes they give away things as a draw to get people to come in, and as a draw to draw people to them. Yesterday in Baltimore, there was a car dealer that was giving away a six-pack of toilet paper for everybody that would come by. You ever thought you'd see the day that toilet paper would be a promotional draw for a business to get people to come into their business? Amen. You say, we can get all bent out of shape and we can get all unsettled, or we can just laugh at the situation and look at the situation. I know it's serious. I know people are dying. I don't know personally people, but I know good friends that have had friends that have died as a direct result of the coronavirus. I've had friends that have had the coronavirus and have got over it. I know it's a serious, serious thing. But friends, I want you to know something. There's nothing in this world worth losing my sight and losing the sight of who's in control in the midst of all this and in the midst of everything. It's still the Lord, and there's no need to get unsettled. Many are settled about the virus. Many are unsettled about our constitutional freedoms. And, man, everybody's on there. There's a lot of Baptists on the line, and everybody wants to prove how holy they are because they want to argue about why they're being persecuted. You're not being persecuted. If you was being persecuted, praise God, you'd have something to complain about. You're persecuted when you're not allowed to worship at all. You're persecuted when you're not allowed to gather anywhere. Amen. There's some things that are just done some people try to prove how much more holy they are than everybody else. I don't know what it is. I'm not going to go down that road. But they're arguing about our constitutional rights, and they're arguing about this, and they're all unsettled and all been out of shape. And I think this is a serious thing again that we need to watch and we need to keep our eyes on. It's very real. But praise God, I still know the one that's in control. I still know the master of the sea. I still know the one who's created it all. I still know the one that lets the leaders lead and puts the kings in their palaces and on their thrones. I still know the one that has all authority and has power. Many are unsettled about how long this social distancing and the quarantine is going to continue. People are going stir crazy. It's a funny thing how when families used to spend all their time together and they got along just fine, and now folks, when they got to spend all their time together, they find out they really don't like one another. That's really unsettling. Amen. That's really discouraging. That's really something that we need to think about and look again about. How many are unsettled about their loved ones in the hospitals? My land sister Peggy's brother was in the hospital, and nobody could go in and see him. They could talk to him and FaceTime him and different things. What a troubling thing that is. What a hard thing that is to have a loved one. And just imagine, he died alone. He died without any of his family around him in the nursing home after they moved him. That's unsettling. But praise God, I can't be there, and you can't be there, and they couldn't be there. But praise God, I know the one who was there with him. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. I'm sure he was there, and he brought sweet peace to his life and to his soul as he ushered him through Death Valley as he took him into the home that he had prepared for him. And as death looked down upon him, and as death rained down upon him, he said, "Get back, this one's mine. Stand back, this one belongs to me. Stand back, he's a going home." And praise God, this morning I'm thankful for the hope that we have in Jesus, when we face the unsettling and uncertain times of death. Many are unsettled because of food shortages. Many are getting unsettled because of all the social issues that are going on. Many are unsettled because of their health issues. Let me tell you something. There's things that are unsettling in this life. But one thing is sure, my God is still on the throne. One thing is sure, my God is still a rock. One thing is sure, my God is still a firm foundation. And though we may have to leave this world by the way of the grave, we have hope in knowing that our hope and our affections aren't wrapped up solely in this world, but in the world to come, and in the promise that He's promised unto us, and the promise that He's given us. Many are unsettled about what happens when they die. They're afraid to die. And many Christians are cowering around, afraid of death. What are you afraid of? You've already met the one. You already know the one that has conquered death, hell, and the grave, and has promised you and given you a hope that is greater than the grave, a hope that is greater than what this world can afford and pour before you. Many are unsettled about their relationship with Christ. Let me ask you this morning, why don't you take care of that? Amen. Why don't you let that uncertainty, that unsettled feeling that's rocking in your soul, rocking in your spirit, keeping you from being all that God wants you to be? Why don't you just trust that to Him, so surrender it unto Him? Isaiah, God tells His people in 41:10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." He fell down to sleep. They called him Master. But I wonder if they really trusted him. "Master, we've seen you heal. Master, we've seen you raise the dead. Master, we've seen you feed the thousands with nothing. But Master, we're going to perish." We walk around today saying, "Oh, how I love Jesus," until a problem comes along. And then we start wringing our hands and we start, "Oh my, what am I going to do? Oh me, I tell you what you need to do. You need to just turn it over to Jesus." Amen. You need to look at your problems. I still remember RJ the first time he was here. He said, we look at our problems sometimes and say, "Oh, what a big problem we have." We need to look at our problems and say, "Oh, what a big God I have. That problem's really nothing." Amen. That problem is nothing that's going to keep me from getting close to God. That problem's nothing that's keep me from doing what God wants me to do. That problem's nothing that's going to keep me from going where God wants me to go. Praise God. I want to be where He wants me to go. Jesus said, "Let's go over to the other side." He said, "We're going, so let's just trust Him." He said He would uphold us. He said He would be there with us. He said He would be all that we needed. And He said, when we get overwhelmed and overburdened and we get unsettled, He said, just cast that care, cast that load upon Him. Amen. Why don't we learn to do that? Isaiah 6, or 26 and 3 and 4 says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Now, I don't have all the answers, but I'm trusting in the one that does. I don't know all the purposes, but I'll trust in the one who does. I don't know where all we might be going and what all we might go through, but I know the one who does. I know the days are uncertain. They're unsure. They're just like a vapor that appears for a time and our life is gone. And the days are in His hand. They're in His control. And I'm going to choose to serve Him. I'm going to choose to trust Him. I'm going to choose to let Him have His way. But then lastly, look in verse number 25. And He said unto them, where is your faith? And they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For He commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey Him. We see an uncertain life, an uncertain day, the uncertainty of life. We see the unsettling problems that we deal with and how uncertainty can unsettle us. But friends, have you forgot the unlimited power of the One that we are on the journey with? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. In the storm, He was there. Later on, we find they're out on the sea in another storm. And He wasn't in the boat with them. But praise God, He was there. He came walking by. Amen. They didn't have to go through it alone. Do you realize that in the midst of the storms, we don't have to worry. We just need to learn to trust. We don't have to fear. We just need to learn to trust. Man, even after He spoke the words and the winds ceased and the waves laid down, the Bible says they were still afraid. Praise God, I want you to know something. We don't need to be afraid. We need to be trusting. Amen. We need to stop fearing. Some people find something to be afraid in anything that's going on. The Bible says the slough or the sluggard says there's a lion in the street. There's a lion in the street. You know, some people make up excuses not to do things. You know, you try to get folks to sing in church. Well, Pastor, I can't do that. You try to get folks to use their ability in church. Well, Pastor, I can't do that. You know, we need to quit saying that we can't and start saying we could. Can't never could do nothing. And praise God, we need to quit being afraid when we have a God that has told us we don't have anything to be afraid of because He's with us and He's demonstrated what He's able to do. Haven't we seen time and time again God's hand in the midst of things that we thought were impossible, we thought were unchangeable, we thought were unmovable, and yet God brought it about. Yet God made everything just turn around. And he says He's the same way. He's in control. He's unlimited in power. For He commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey Him. Friends, He's still in control. He's still omnipotent. He's still all-powerful. He's still able to bring calm to our lives. Even though the storms may rage, how we can have peace with Him in the midst of the storm. I like that saying, sometimes He calms the storm, but sometimes He just calms our heart and lets the storms rage. Amen. I've been in those situations where the storm was raging, but I had peace in my heart. Why? Because Jesus was there. Because Jesus had showed up. Because Jesus had gave me that assurance. You know, this morning, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1, He says in verse 20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Now, we can look around us, and anybody with a lick of sense knows that all this just didn't happen by accident. There had to be a divine hand upon creation. And we can look in nature and we can look around us and we can see, and they tell us all this happened over millions of years, but their evidence is based on man's understanding and man's knowledge. And they reject God. Oh, science and religion, don't intermix. I want you to know something. There's nothing that real science has ever found that contradicts what the Bible says. Real science. Darwin's theory is not real science. It's a theory that has never been proved by scientific protocol. And you know what? It can't be. because it was some man's theory. And yet they've taken that and they've run with it and they've acted like it's engraved in stone. Oh, look at all these fossils. It takes millions of years to form a fossil. That's a lie. In mines in Australia, they have found fossilized tools of miners that have been in Australia for less than 300 years. So don't let science tell you they got all the answers. Look around you and let God prove to you that He has the answers. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Friends, when you look around us and you see nature and you see the organization in nature, you see how everything in nature has a purpose and a plan, you understand that what God has created leaves us without an excuse, because it's a witness and a testimony to His hand and His intervention. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beast, and creeping things. See, man don't want to accept what he don't understand. Man wants to see things the way that he wants to see them. In Judges, when we read about Micah and how they decided they didn't want to travel and go to Jerusalem to go to church, go to Jerusalem to worship as they should, and they made their own graven little images. We see when Jeroboam and Rehoboam and there had their difference, and we see that when Israel and Judah separated and divided, they wanted to have their own gods, and they made their own images. And that's the way we are today. We claim we trust God until we get in trouble, and then we start looking everywhere else for the answer, when the answer to our problems right there with us. He's right there all along. I'm thankful for the doctors, but the answer's not in the doctor. The answer's in God to give the doctors the knowledge. I'm thankful for modern medicine, but the answer's not in modern medicine. The answer's in the God that has gave man the knowledge and the ability and the understanding to do all things. Jeremiah 32, 26 and 27 says, "Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Master, carest not that we perish. Master, we perish. What is it about our human nature that always wants to look at the negative side of everything, when we have a God that gives us a positive hope, a positive outlook, a positive assurance of salvation? You know, some folks say, "Well, I just don't trust like that. I'm unsure about that." Well, Hebrews 7:25 says, "Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession." You see, there's nothing that we can't trust unto God. He's able to save to the uttermost. He's able to deliver us from our troubles and our trials. He's able to do above and beyond what we can even imagine is possible for Him to do. And yet when we are facing uncertainties and our heart and our spirit gets all bent out of sorts, we're looking at everything else and everyone else. And we forget the one that said He would never leave us nor forsake us. We forget the one that told us there's nothing impossible for God. We forget the one that said, let us go to the other side. Friend, I'm on a journey, but I'm not in this journey alone. Neither are you. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you don't have to go through this journey alone. You don't have to face all these problems alone. You don't have to deal with all these situations alone. You can trust Him. He'll save your soul. Friend, if you've grown complacent, you've grown apathetic, maybe you're just downright backslidden, and you forgot what all He said He would do and what all He's able to do, this morning would be a good time to come to Him and say, Lord, my faith may have wavered. You know, He asked them, where's your faith? It had waned and wavered. My faith may have wavered, but Lord, I'm going to trust You. Lord, I'm going to depend on You. Lord, I'm seeking You. As Brother Jim and Sister Mary get a song of invitation this morning, as you bow your head right there in your car, as you bow your head at home as you're listening, I wonder this morning if there's something in your life that you've failed to trust God for. You're failing to allow Him to have His way in. You're fearful the uncertainty of life. You're unsettled because of the uncertainty. But God is speaking to you this morning, and He's reminding you that He's in control. Won't you come to Him? Surrender to Him. Allow Him to have His way.
Almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call. Almost persuaded.
Let's not almost trust Him.
Come,
but let's trust Him with our whole
today.
Heart. Let's not almost go to distance.
Almost
let's go all
persuaded.
The way.
Turn not away. Jesus invites you here. Angels are lingering near. Prayers rise from hearts so dear. Oh, wonder come. Almost persuaded. Harvest is past, almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail, almost is but to fail. Sad, sad that bitter wail. Oh,
amen.
But
amen.
Lost.
Amen. Thank you all for coming out this morning. Thank you for tuning in this morning. We trust God has spoke to some heart today and helped someone to realize that He's all you need. You know, when you got Him, and you're traveling with Him, it don't matter what's happening, you still have all that you need. Amen.